In the name of Jesus, amen. The story of Cornelius, which you just heard, set in Caesarea, comes to life for me in a different way as I hear it, because on two different occasions I have been in Caesarea Maritimus, otherwise known as Caesarea by the Sea, the last time being only 2 months ago. Now it would be fun this morning to spend our allotted time talking about this splendid Roman city, or it would be fun to talk about how it was found buried amongst the sand dunes of the Mediterranean back in 1951. It would be fun to talk about what has been discovered in this place. It would be fun to talk about how many different things this city meant. It was the capital of the province of Judea from A.D. 1. Or to talk about how it was the home of Pontius Pilate, or judging from the size of the theater there, to talk about its 40,000 other inhabitants, the population being bigger than the city of Jerusalem, or to talk about how Paul was imprisoned there, or how it was the home of many great Christian fathers as a learning center, housing men such as Eusebius. Or to talk about today and how we can find there Charlie's Cafe, the outward appearance of which suggests to us that the food he serves dates back to biblical times. It would be great to talk about what is said in this story of Cornelius and Peter. After all, it reads like a veritable Apostles' Creed of all the mighty acts of God. But what I'd like to talk for a few minutes about is what is happening in this story. No, not what Peter's doing, not what Cornelius is doing, but talk about what God is doing in this story, and more specifically, about how this scene at Caesarea represents a larger chain of events that was begun, continued, and ended by God, a chain of events which goes back to the beginning of time. Time does not permit to talk about all the millennia of the Old Testament, how the promise of God himself was carried forward by God himself through the sin of our first parents, through the flood, through the Exodus, through a whole line of feeble kings, through sin and rebellion of his people, through exile in a foreign land. Oh, the lengths to which God would go to show his love to people. Then God sent his only son in the flesh in Bethlehem. He faced all of life's temptations for us. He placed himself under the law. As Peter said, he went about doing good. The anguish of Gethsemane, the cross, the empty tomb, the Mount of Ascension, all the lengths to which God would go to show love and forgiveness to the world. He sent his Spirit. He founded his church. He gave us his word and sacraments. And then, of all things, he gave us the men to deliver it. The apostolic ministry. All these things, and then Peter, you notice, says that in all this, God was being faithful to his people Israel, God's Old Testament people. Well, now, that's Israel, but what about the Gentiles? Oh, the Gentiles! God says, I've come this far, all these millennia, and I'm not going to stop now. Oh, the lengths to which he would go. The Gentiles. Now, let's see. This is going to take some special arrangements. All right, I've got Peter at the seacoast town of Joppa. Now, I'm not going to have him running away just like Jonah did 700 years ago, running away from the Gentiles from the seaport of Joppa. And now, 20 miles up the coast at Caesarea, I've got this Gentile, this Roman centurion named Cornelius, and he has accepted the faith of Israel. I've got to get these two people together, okay? I'll send an angel to Cornelius. Yes, a special angel, just to tell him, go and get Peter. And then I'll send a vision to Peter. Peter, you see all this stuff that Cornelius eats? It's all right though. It's all clean. Okay, now Cornelius' men are at the house of Simon the Tanner, where Peter is staying in Joppa. And now I send the Holy Spirit himself and tell him, go to Cornelius and preach the gospel to him too. An angel, a vision, the Holy Spirit himself, whatever it takes. Oh, the lengths to which God would go to show the forgiveness of his Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. The Cornelius story continues. God had interrupted Saul while he was doing his work, and he directs him to go everywhere to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But oh, there are Gentiles in Europe too. I've got to get Paul across that Adriatic Sea to go into that continent too. Paul, you see this Macedonian man? You hear how he sings so pitifully, come and help us. We'll do it. Oh, the lengths to which the Lord would go. We've come a long way already. There's a long list of martyrs who have been shown so much mercy that they were willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. There are men like Luther who kept the gospel flames burning in Europe all that time. And oh, wouldn't you know it, the Gentiles are not going to stay put. Now it's another continent. Now it's the American continent. I'll make sure that the word and sacraments go along with them too, and I'll continue to give them the men to deliver it too. Oh, the lengths to which God would go. I'll preserve my kingdom right up to the 20th century. They still have the word. They still have the sacraments. They still have the men to deliver it, the holy ministry. Oh, but now look, there's this old lady who's dying in the hospital, and she belongs to me. Now, do you think I'm going to come all these millennia, says the Lord, and do you think I'm going to have my son go to the death for all these people and go through all these generations of martyrs and stop right now? I'm not going to stop. One inch short, I will not stop. Not one of mine is going to be missing in the kingdom. Why, I'm not going to even stop at the church building which has been built to my name. I'm not even going to stop in the hospital lobby. I'm going to go all the way to the bedside of that lady, and by my gospel and by my body and my blood and through the under-shepherd that I've sent, I'm going to send her on her way to eternal life in heaven. Christ, through the holy ministry, seeks and saves the lost all the way down to the end of the line, specifically at the delivery point of the gospel to a fallen world. The ministry is like his crowning touch of all his work of salvation, which he has done for us. And what a joy the ministry is. The pastor is on the receiving end of all the blessings of God, of the grace that didn't stop one inch short for him. And at the same time, he is Christ-ordained means for giving out the blessings of salvation. At the Lord's table, at the baptismal font, in the pulpit, at the hospital room, at the gravesite, he stands precisely at the giving end of all that Christ came and suffered for. At the same time, looking back at all the things that the church through the centuries has suffered through. He stands at the end of a long line of a glorious company of apostles and goodly fellowship of the prophets and the noble army of martyrs, acknowledging his God by the ministry of Christ's giving to his church, acknowledging the Father of an infinite majesty, his adorable true and only Son, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Amen.